Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
All right, that was fun. I put the rest of the sandwich in the conference room.
Beautiful. Somebody will eat it.
Yeah, no question.
Somebody will dig in on that.
I don't think we're supposed to be sharing food.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot all about that.
I cut it.
Yeah, listen, I had to stop bringing in the pastries because of stupid COVID.
Pastelitos.
They were all individually wrapped in a box, and we couldn't bring them in anymore.
Like the donuts that Randy brought in the other day from his kids' party, all those were individually wrapped.
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to be doing that either.
Listen, he brings me a donut every Friday.
Yeah, but he puts that in its own bag that comes from Do Right.
He may or may not. Yeah. I mean, that's either way. But these were individually wrapped in their own. There weren't a dozen donuts sitting in a box. There were donuts in a bag in a box.
Mm.
So they were individually wrapped the other day.
So they were individually wrapped. So that matters. That matters.
Yes.
Okay, that helps.
Doesn't hurt.
Yes.
Doesn't hurt.
Like when you buy like a Carol's cookie and it's pre-wrapped.
Yes, pre-wrapped. Now that we can talk to the boss and see if we can start bringing in the Friday morning sugar fix for everybody again because, you know, the numbers are trending in a good direction. We had to put it on hold last year like around April or so or June maybe.
Well, you got to be careful now. You know the variants are out there.
Well, I know.
There's a Calumet City variant that's
Mike
out there
Thomas,
now.
Our market manager, had to come in and say, you got to stop bringing in the pastries.
Did he? Wow.
Broke everybody's heart. Wow, it was company policy. Because can't bring in the Patriots anymore. He was as bummed as anybody.
You've been carrying the Cal City variant for a long time.
Yes, he has.
There's no shot for that.
For years I've had the
There's
variants.
No shot for that. Well,
it's called penicillin.
you guys want some football news?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
The Athletic is reporting that Russell Wilson's frustration has led his camp to broach trade destinations with the Seahawks, sources tell The Athletic. Wow. The teams are expected to include Dolphins, Jets, Saints, Raiders, and before the Seahawks Thursday night game, The Athletic reports, against the Cardinals, Wilson met with the coaching staff to discuss how he believed they could fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed in the meeting. He stormed out of the room.
Wow.
Wow. How about that?
He's a changed man since marriage.
So, yeah, you get angry, kid.
No bleep, you get angry.
What do you mean, no again? Hey, Russell Wilson's like, I'd like to hear yes one time, even in a football meeting room, please.
That's why he's so mad.
Rank them in order. Watson, Wilson, and Dak. Rank them in order. What would you prefer?
You just did it.
You just did it.
Did I?
Yes.
You just did it.
Watson, Wilson, Dak.
And I like Dak Prescott. I do. More than probably most. But I'd still rather have Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott, especially coming off of
an injury
that he suffered. You know, in the way he suffered.
Russell, has he been too beat up, though?
Good question.
That's the only thing I'm concerned
about. He doesn't miss games, though.
Doesn't miss games at all. He hasn't missed one.
Yeah, he hasn't missed the game.
Just a wear and tear issue, you know? Wear and tear. That's what you worry
about.
Remember
when Seattle came here many, many years ago, and he was just, I think, a rookie, and the Bears were favored at Soldier Field? Mm-hmm. And you're like, who's that guy running around all over the field? And that was him.
Something was up when he was a rookie, because who's the kid they signed from?
Matt Flynn.
Yeah, they signed Flynn, and all of a sudden
$37 million
became very expendable, and Russell Wilson ends up taking over as a third-round pick.
Matt Flynn never even started.
You heard the noise.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Pacific Northwest.
Correct.
About the kid they drafted was a pretty darn good player, so... He made some noise. It's what happens. You get to camp, and all of a sudden you start making all the throws. People aren't stupid. Your teammates know. They watch the film. So you practice. You see what you saw. Then you get on film, and you sit down in the meeting room with all your people, and you're watching this kid do the same thing. It's like, he's pretty legitimate.
Where did a disconnect happen between Russell Wilson and Seattle? What happened there? Why? Why is this happening?
He wants more say. What's going on?
How about you know, what would Richard Sherman and the rest of the Legion of Boom say about what they thought about Russell Wilson and the way they coddled him early?
Yeah.
Because they were upset. I mean, they ended up getting broken up, in essence, because they wanted to coddle Russell Wilson.
Well, I think also because they had to pay Russell Wilson. I think that was a big part of it.
And then they had to get rid of a bunch of guys.
Is that part of the coddling?
Right.
That's part of the coddling?
The coddling was them trying to throw the ball in the Super Bowl instead of giving the ball to the running back. That was them trying to create an MVP quarterback instead of giving it to the beast and letting him run the ball in, which they questioned right away. Every member of Seattle was like, why aren't we running the ball in?
Right.
Jim Zorn would have done
pundits.
Jim Zorn would have done that for Kurt Warner. For Kurt Warner. They would have ran
Kurt
the football
with a C,
Kurt
not
Warner.
A K. Yeah, exactly.
Kurt correct. Warner, running back or
yeah, running back.
Quarterback?
Kurt with
running
a C.
Back. Yeah. With Jimmy Zorn.
I love Jimmy Zorn.
Zorn would have ran the football.
The lefty. One of the few lefties you ever see. Boy, what is that? That is an unsightly era.
Oh, yeah.
You make it seem like it's unfamiliar to you.
What's going on? Well,
so there you go. But if
so is the NFL becoming the NBA where the stars are just going to say that? I mean, I want out.
If you're going to get, 7-1, if you're getting 7-1, I'd trade a guy for 7-1. You know, if Deshaun Watson, if it's going to be 7-1, if you're giving me McCaffrey and everything and everything and everything, listen, Teddy Tidewater's not doing anything
Teddy
for me.
Tidewater.
Right? You're still going to have to go find your quarterback. And with one of those draft choices, you might be able to find the quarterback that you want. Teddy Tidewater's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's good. He's not next level.
He's a good quarterback. But, yeah, he's not next level quarterback.
He's a machine getting points in the NFL, I will say that. Not that that does
you
any good
as a
team.
You want him as the Bears quarterback?
Who?
Teddy Bridgewater.
That might be what you're left with.
Well, if this article is true, that would put Tua in play, Darnold in play, nobody from the Saints, and the Raiders, Derek Carr. Matt reportedly lusts after.
Because their cap situation, the Bears are forced to be patient in this process. Whether they believe it or not, but I think patience is their only option in this situation.
Well, you had a shot, no shot question that Danny asked. Who has a job? Does Mitch Trubisky have a new team to go to with a contract before the Bears settle on who their starter is?
I would be guessing that Mitch, on March 18th or 19th, would have himself a job and a new contract somewhere.
Agreed.
I think Yerk is going to end up being right after all this process. Who's been the number one guy that's been saying it's going to be Foles and the draft pick?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that could be very realistic.
It's
boys.
Either Foles in the draft pick or in the summer, it could be somebody that's kind of out of the carousel.
It could be like
it may be.
The last man standing, the way sort of Cam finally was for New England, right?
Like, yeah.
All of a sudden, something could present itself in June, and that's going to be the Bears quarterback.
Right. That's our option now.
As a bridge guy, because they're going to, obviously, I would think, draft someone. If they go another draft without taking a quarterback, it'd
then you know things.
But are they drafting someone high that they truly believe in, or a flyer in the fourth round?
Either way, I think they're coming away with a quarterback that, is... either way, there's going to be a quarterback taken that they have to start the clock on at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's correct.
If you were an investor, my concern with the Bears is obviously what they plan on doing with the stadium. If you were an investor and you had money, would you go and offer Churchill Downs an X amount of dollars for that property up there?
If I were
an investor. With the idea and the thought of flipping it to the Bears or flipping it to the Bears in a concept where you become partners with them in the real... either a real estate or a commercial property with them that's in conjunction with the stadium.
If
I'm a guy out there with gazillions and I just want to sit and kind of play the devil's advocate, I'd go ahead and make an offer to Churchill Downs that is above the market value for the property and then force the Bears to deal with me in a situation where I can get some.
Do they really? Is that any more beneficial to them than the situation they have now where they're renting space?
Yes,
because they become an owner?
They'd still be getting benefits from their pro shop. One of the things is whatever you generate in your pro shop is yours. We don't want any of that. That would be yours.
Can I get my money from the Final Four in concerts?
Yeah, you should.
Well, you'd be a split.
So the article that we pulled up yesterday, last January, pre-pandemic, they said if you bought it and continue to operate it as a track, the cost would be $200 million. If you bought it to knock the track down, a quarter of that. So $50
million. Hmm.
But then you have to
develop. The land is worth $50 million? That's what they'd sell the land for?
Mm-hmm.
I would want to do that to get money because I can get added value by getting that than being at Soldier Field.
Oh, for the Bears, I ranted on this yesterday, that they don't own their own stadium has always been a joke.
Yep.
The way the new stadium came together was sort of a joke. It is not a pleasant-looking stadium. It just isn't. It's not a functional stadium. They can't use it year-round. It's in an awkward place. If not, the only thing that saves it from an aesthetic standpoint is the skyline behind it. That's it.
Yep.
That's the only thing that saves it. There's nothing great, grandiose, impressive about that stadium? Nothing. It's the smallest in the league. They don't own it. They can't use it year-round. They have a monopoly on football in this town. The bigger markets, the only two that are bigger than the Bears, New York and L.A., are competing. You know, those teams compete. They're competing entities.
Giants,
the Bears
Jets,
are by themselves.
Chargers, Rams.
And they still can't get it right, which is shocking.
I interviewed the former Mayor Daley and asked him, when you did that stadium.
City, Chicago.
I said, Richard M., why would you not have put a dome on there? He said, wanted to. He goes, talk to your state legislature. They, in their infinite wisdom, didn't want to do it.
Post-Madigan, this will happen.
Post-Madigan, right? Yeah, now Madigan's out. It's going to happen.
But did you ever ask him why he hated Meggs Field?
Yeah.
Why did you want
to make it a concert venue.
Why did you hate Meggs Field so much?
Right?
Concert venue.
But do the Bears even have the money to buy and develop that land? The Bears don't have Stan Kroenke's money.
No, they
Stan Kroenke can spend $5 billion.
Two of their owners are Andy McKenna and Pat Ryan. Two of the wealthiest men in Chicago.
Those aren't their majority owners.
Those are the guys that if the team goes for sale, they have right of first refusal.
I would think so.
Hey, Wertz, want to get in on this? Help us out.
Yeah, Jerry, Tom, you guys want a piece?
Rocky's too busy buying the Sun Times.
I don't want to do with that. I'm trying to win the World
Series. Please, he's got, yeah.
You, that's your money. Anyway, I don't want any piece of it. I'll have a shadow guy. Don't put my name on it.
Seriously, do the Bears have the $2 billion that it would take? In the end, you know, we talked about it yesterday. The league lends at a much lower rate to teams that do this. You build a new stadium, the league's got a fund where you could borrow money from the fund at a lower rate and all that. So, and then they'll obviously taxpayers are going to pay for it. Hoodie and I live in Cook County. Yep. I promise you, Hoodie and I will be paying for it.
Yep.
Because that's still Arlington Heights is still Cook County.
Yep.
We'll be paying for it. So I get it. There are streams. But do the Bears have the kind of capital it takes, even with Pat Ryan? I mean, like, do they have $2 billion to spend on this?
Can you find that out, Cap?
I can ask.
The L.A. Stadium, Yurko told you, cost $5 billion. Now, maybe they're not going to spend $5 billion, but you want to build a stadium, state-of-the-art, today to compete? You're not doing it for less than $2 billion. Do the Bears have the capability? Do they have the wherewithal to get it done and the capability?
I think the league would absolutely help them get that done.
Now you talk to Roger Goodell over to the side. And, you know, Reinsdorf or someone goes over and says, I was thinking about expansion. A Chicago AFC team.
Right. Bears will never let that happen. Can you imagine Reinsdorf?
No, downstate. That's downstate.
Can you imagine?
You got to go to
from Peoria
back
down.
Back to Decatur.
You know, Springfield, Saxon.
Yeah, exactly. So you take care of Peoria down.
Right, exactly.
Then take care of the St. Louis market that you don't have.
Put yourself in Peoria.
Can you imagine George in his office?
Springfield.
Wait. They're what? Springfield.
They'll never happen. The league will never allow it.
Never.
And they've got a monopoly on football in this town. They do.
Big
and,
L.
And they still they're behind their peers.
Yes, they are.
It's terrible.
Yep.
A Chicago AFC.
Mom and pop shop.
It's a mom and pop shop. They're behind their peers in terms of how competitive they are, and they're behind their peers in the kind of revenues they generate. And as Forbes documented, the last time they did the valuations in 19, the Green Bay Packers in a town of 100,000 people have better revenue streams than the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, we call it Chicago, but when they play in Springfield, and they play, you know, against the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC.
We call it the greater Chicago area.
Then when the Colts.
You're closer to Indy. Right.
I love the idea. And if the Bears are not going to do it, let's have a state-of-the-art stadium someplace in this state.
Let's go out and get our own investors. Let's get Andy Berlin, who has got a big chunk of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. And the Cubs.
And the Cubs.
And
yeah.
Irving. Let's get him Irving Berlin.
Andrew
Berlin, South Bend Cubs.
Yeah.
He's a great dude.
Berlin Tools.
Yeah, of course. Let's get the guy the WeatherTech guy. Let's just start getting everybody we know in Chicago that's got a lot of money, and let's just buy. So let's have a hostile takeover. I don't even know what a hostile takeover
is. The MyPillow guy
is not coming anywhere. I don't know what a hostile takeover is. Let's do it. Let's start a hostile takeover of the Bears. Is that legal, York? Can we do that?
Oh, all types of things are legal.
We do it?
Sure.
Take it to Ron. Let's get Jerry. Take it to Goodell. We're going to do a hostile takeover.
Yeah, it's a takeover.
I'm going to buy you a brisket sandwich. We're going to do a hostile takeover.
Kaplan, don't say anything, but I'm going to be a silent owner. Silent. We're going to be the AFC. We're going to take on the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to make a lot of money. Concert venues. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. But don't say anything. Nice cup of soup. Don't worry about it. I like your mask, Yerk. I like that.
Oh, phenomenal.
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal bench. That. He comes walking in. He goes, I forgot my mask. That was in his car.
I had to scour the car looking for one.
He comes walking in.
I loop on one ear. And then I just hold it like this.
Look at that mask. You can't tell me that mask hasn't seen some sun.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. Crown Royal. A brown mask.
I love it. Must have been like that Crown Royal maple. That's why. It's Crown Royal maple. Yeah. I love it.
The maple.
Mm. All right, we're out of here.
See you tomorrow.
Yep, no question. You guys have a great show. And if you want to hear the rest of this show, just tune in 2 to 6. We'll be out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Shots fired by the cat man.
They started that BS yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cap.
They know.
Cap, love one another, okay? Come on.
I love them. I have to also hold them accountable. We took a bit from Evan Cohen that we asked permission for. We were accused of stealing. That guy. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
You don't have a problem with Waddle, just Sylvie, right?
I love everybody.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow at 7. Carmen Yurko next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Will the Bears ever get their own stadium, and will the Bears ever find a quarterback? We've been asking those questions for a long, long time. It's Carmen and Yurko, and welcome in, everybody. And we discussed it yesterday. I get hot and bothered, this topic. I really do, because I want the Bears to be better. Yurk said mom and pop. That's what they are. It's like a mom and pop operation, yep. And they can't keep up with their peers. They just don't. Competitively, financially, they don't. And they've almost had it served up to them on a platter. They are the charter franchise of the league. They paid $100 for the franchise. It's worth $3.5 billion, probably $4 billion at this point. They paid $100 for it. And because of their place in the league, they will, and where we are now, all these years that have passed, the NFL will never allow another team to come in here and truly compete with the Bears. The New York market can't say the same. The Los Angeles market at this point can't say the same. And I don't think either one of those teams will go anywhere now. I mean, it's been an interesting history of football in Southern California. And they've had teams, they've lost teams. They had, back and forth.
Rams lost
Rams. They've got two teams there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And the Bears are at a competitive advantage, and they still do very little with it. And it is frustrating to me as a fan. It's frustrating that they've spent 40, 50, 60 years trying to find a quarterback. It's frustrating to me that they've been to the playoffs 7 times since Coach Ditka left, since Coach Ditka was fired, which is coming up on 30 years ago now. And they've been to the playoffs less than a quarter of the time in the subsequent seasons. It's all frustrating to me. And I think it'll be something that we continue to track and we continue to talk about. Hey, track, no pun intended. What's going to happen with that property at Arlington? And will the Bears be buyers? Are they serious? Do they have the ability to be a player, to buy that land and then develop a $1 or $2 or $3 billion stadium on it?
And from now to the process that it gets built, you're looking at probably 6 years.
Long time.
6 years.
Yeah.
You know, do you agree to purchase? You get the purchase. Do you tear things down? Do you get things suited the way it's going to be? Then all those years to build. You're looking at 2027.
Right. Many years out.
It's the first time you're going to end up seeing anything that's productive out there.
Hey, maybe by then they'll have a quarterback, too. And maybe it'll be Russell Wilson.
You never know.
Who's
available?
He's available.
He said, "I'm available."
We have another disgruntled quarterback. This is just after talking to Peter King yesterday, when he said, "You know, at what point are teams going to be scared of giving big money and making long term commitments to players and quarterbacks if they are just going to turn around a year or two in and say, hey, I want to be traded. I'm unhappy." Deshaun Watson signed a brand new mega deal in September. He's not happening anymore. They seem to be more dysfunctional than most teams, maybe the most dysfunctional team in the NFL right now with everything that's going on in that front office and otherwise. But now all of a sudden, you sort of always viewed as a pretty stable situation out in the Pacific Northwest, right? Got a quality general manager that's done the job well.
John Schneider.
John Schneider, thank you, Yurk. You got a quality head coach that's won a lot of games and seemingly has that team, you know, poised to compete every year. The quarterback has a lot to do with that. In the last couple of years, he's covered up a lot of their warts and a lot of their holes. But Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I mean, they you sort of look to them as like, well, they do it right in Seattle. And now you've got a disgruntled quarterback there that wants out. According to The Athletic, Russell Wilson's frustration has led his camp to broach trade destinations with the Seahawks, Dolphins, Jets, Saints, Raiders included in the conversation.
Have you guys had a chance to really read through this piece yet?
Not yet. I have
not. It just dropped today, so that's not a surprise. But like, I'm reading through it, and it's interesting because there are some sources inside this article by it's a three reporters at The Athletic. Mike Sando was one of them, talking about how partially Russell Wilson is finally catching heat, and this is a PR game by his camp as well, because he's finally being held to the high standard because he is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football.
Right.
And also, Russ is very disgruntled about the fact that he wants to be held in the same regard as guys like Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. And he feels like with Pete Carroll's philosophy, you know, offensive philosophy in particular, that that's holding him back. And watching, in particular, watching the Super Bowl, you know, in person, and what Mahomes and Brady and the offenses and the skill players built around them, and how they're allowed to just throw the ball at will, it's kind of opening Russ's eyes. And, you know, in addition to the upset meeting he had with them earlier in the season.
So he wants to throw it more. I mean, look, he's got skilled players. He's got fast, skilled players on that offense.
Yes.
I mean, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. I mean, let's not pretend like he doesn't have anybody that can go downfield and he can't throw the ball. But maybe it's just the philosophy that they don't throw it enough.
It's more that, if you remember, and we've joked about this, how halfway through the season, a lot of people had Russell Wilson as the MVP winner. If you would end
one of us did. Who was it?
Somebody on the show.
Merck.
That's right. The guy who likes to hand out.
We knew what it was.
Awards before the season.
We knew it was the curse the minute Merck said it. Poor Russ.
The problem is that the last eight games of the season, Russ had probably the worst stretch of his career statistically. Yeah. Yeah. And so now the question is, who's at fault for that? Was it because Pete Carroll, you know, basically told Brian Schottenheimer, you need to run the ball more, stop throwing it so much? Or it was Russ actually playing poorly at the time, and that's part of the reason they decided to run the ball more.
The Bears are not on the list of teams as of now, according to The Athletic. Will the Bears get on that list somehow? Are they picking up the phone and calling John Schneider and Pete Carroll? And should they be doing that ASAP if indeed Russell Wilson were to be made available? Yerk said rank them. Watson, Russ, Dak. You said it that way, and
right.
I said, that's my rank, Yerk. Watson, Russ, Dak, if you're asking me, like, from best, you know, who's the best out of that group? And then, you know, who do you want out of that? Like, that's it. That's the order. Russ is going to cost you a whole heck of a lot less than Deshaun Watson, though. I mean, it's going to be a hefty price tag if something like this were to happen, but it's still going to, it's not going to be that 7-for-1 deal that you're hearing about for a team that's potentially going to acquire Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and he threw the ball 558 times. I'm trying to understand what exactly the problem is. That's over 30 times a game, average.
Yeah.
The most in his career, he threw the ball 558 times. He's been sacked 40-plus times in each year of his career except for his first year.
How about that?
So, I mean, he does hold the ball. He does try to find his receivers. He is patient with it. I think what you stated, you know, and I've got to go read the whole article, but when you sit and you talk about the fact that he's not getting the recognition, that's part of the dilemma of playing in Seattle. So are you upset because you don't get the coverage that the other quarterbacks get and you want to get out of Seattle? Okay. I got to get out of Seattle because I need to be on the Eastern Seaboard.
Let's talk about that more when we come back. 312-332-3776. All these Bears issues and more of the quarterback stuff is going to continue to be a big talking point, especially as more of the stars demand trades from their teams, if that is the case here in this offseason. 312-332-3776. Carmen and Yurko, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports,
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I think everyone who was watching the Super Bowl had the same reaction to the shot of Russell Wilson and Roger Goodell sitting in the box together. Was Russ the Walter Payton Man of the Year? Is that why? That's why they were together, right? That's what I thought.
Yes.
So good on headphones just went out. Sorry.
Yeah, mine did too.
Yeah, did you guys hear that?
That was like a glitch in the system.
Mine kind of went weird too.
Yeah.
Something's up.
Are the aliens coming for us? Are we back on the air? We're good? Is my son here turning stuff off again? No. Yeah, I mean, everybody sort of had the same reaction, right? You looked at it and go, Russ doesn't look happy. I mean, he just didn't. And was it because he's thinking to himself, man, Tom Brady's 40 freaking something years old. He changes teams. He's right back here.
Tom Brady's played in 10 of these.
Right. Yeah. Is he thinking like Tom Brady's played in 10? When I was young, I got to a couple and I won one. I haven't been back. We haven't really even sniffed it since. Not that they're not competitive because they are virtually every year. You know, is that what aggravated
him? He couldn't have been looking at Mahomes and said, geez, I'd love to be him because he was running for his dear life in the second half.
Yurko said, does he feel like he doesn't get the attention he deserves? To me, is that really a problem in the NFL? It's not like baseball where you play out. King Felix goes to waste in Seattle. Mike Trout's going to waste
If you're not feeling the adulation and the adoration, then what is it?
In the NFL, if you're great, you could play in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and you're going to get love and adoration.
Is the head that wears the crown. And when you're the guy up there making the most money and your cap number is $32 million, you've got to perform. And if you're not performing, people are going to look at you and say, why? And the credit goes to the quarterback. Everybody loves Tom Brady. He's getting all the credit in the world, right?
Everybody always loves the quarterbacks
right.
the most.
And the
right?
blame.
And hates.
And too much of the blame goes toward the quarterback when you lose. But guess what? Too much blame might be coming to Russell Wilson. He doesn't like it.
Well, like you said, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
That's right.
You know, that's what happens when you're the quarterback of a team in the National Football League.
Well, to add a little more color to that, in the Athletic piece, there's a quote that they reference. At one point in the season, Wilson said, I'm trying to break away. You know what I mean? Wilson said at one point early in the season, and then named the shadows he was chasing. Brady, Breeze, Manning, Montana. So clearly, it's not just I want to win in Seattle. It's his profile, I think, is not as high as he thinks it should be across the league.
Okay. 312-332-3776. Lewis is in Wheaton. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no call.
How are you, man?
Welcome aboard.
I'm doing well. Just enjoying this 45 degree weather.
I love it. Absolutely.
Here's what I've gathered from Russell Wilson, and this is from like reading reports of reading reports on ESPN as well as just watching his game. A big problem was actually his offensive line. You guys did mention he got sacked 48
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
He's known for extending plays, but just from watching him, I'd say roughly 75% of the time, it was because his line broke down way too fast for anybody. And if you're not Russell Wilson, you're getting sacked in that scenario every time. It really does come down to his offensive line and getting rid of his offensive coordinator. He loved his OC because he let him do his thing. They and kind of fired him out of a cultural reason, and I'm giving air quotes around cultural, meaning Carroll did not like to pass as much as he did. It really does come down to those two things, though, his line and his OC leaving.
Let's bring him to Chicago with a porous offensive line. Lewis, thanks. 51 sacks in 2018, 48, which was a league high in 2019, 47 sacks last year. It's trending downwards, guys, if anything. I'm going to look for the positives here. But that's a lot of sacks, no joke.
One more interesting paragraph. This is from The Athletic. The Super Bowl this year was a trigger. And we mentioned him being with Goodell, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, Wilson seethed seeing what Brady and Mahomes did on the field. During the game, he texted Jake Heaps, his former teammate and private quarterback coach, to vent about watching the game instead of playing in it. Wilson later spoke with Carroll, according to a source, to talk about the way the Seahawks addressed the offensive line, an issue that had bothered Wilson for years. He wanted to know the team's plan, but it wasn't relayed to him, at least not to Wilson's satisfaction, the source said. Carroll implored him to have faith. But after the Super Bowl, that's when Wilson took his message public. The comments to Dan Patrick that we have played on the show.
Russell Wilson in their playoff game, 11-27. I mean, that's brutal. 174 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Quarterback rating.
Pick 6 in that game.
Yes, I believe that's right, Merck. Quarterback rating is 72.1. You know, like at what point does Russell Wilson have to stand up and say, you know, he's seething that he's not in the game, that I got to play better. Now, and I get it. Sometimes your offensive line is not what you want it to be. We know that as Bears fans as well as anybody.
Difficult.
It makes life difficult. But, you know, and Russell Wilson should have some say. I mean, hasn't he earned that for crying out loud in Seattle? I understand that. If he'd like to have some say and he's being completely tuned out or completely ignored by Pete Carroll, the coaching staff, John Schneider, like I get why he'd be upset. But at what point does the, you know, do we just have to look at the athlete and say, you got to own up to it a little bit too? Yeah, you're seething. You're not in this game. Play better in your playoff game. I mean, you know, like
they were there twice, right?
They were there twice.
He's won one,
and they were on the doorstep to win another.
So that appears to be another factor, though, Carm, is because in the article they talk about how, for the first time, because Carroll has often been criticized for the way he has treated Russell Wilson with kid gloves. We remember the rift between Sherman and Lynch back when they were in the Super Bowl.
The Legion of Boom.
Well, apparently this year, Carroll said he spoke to him in a way that he wasn't used to him being spoken to. And then at one point, he told Wilson to, quote, fix it in regards to his poor play.
His poor play.
And then he also added he had a great year, but he can be better. Mm. So, you know. It's probably a whole bunch of a confluence of things going on right now that are bothering Russell Wilson.
Hey, if the Bears can get in on it, I guess I'll take it.
I'll tell you where you shouldn't go. Don't go to New England. Because you're not going to be coddled in New England. It's not the way that's going to work. You want to have a tremendous working relationship. Even Aaron Rodgers is upset sometimes.
That's right, yes.
You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy when his quarterback coach was let go. The guy he was comfortable with, and they fired him. And they said, Asala, bye-bye. We don't care. We're going to go a different direction than that. You know, sometimes you've got to make your starting quarterback sometimes uncomfortable. You know, every once in a while, you've got to demand something from your quarterback, whether he likes it or not. Yeah, what you did was great, but it wasn't good enough.
See, it's hard, though, because you're right, Yurko, but when his entire career, because he came in with a competitive team and he was, you know, kind of keeping the rig on the road, and the defense was the reason they were in those two Super Bowls, but he was complimentary, and he got a lot of praise and love for that, and that's how he entered the league, and now he's never really been coached in a manner where he's been uncomfortable.
Right.
He's never had a losing season. Russell Wilson.
Well, and his record as a starter is phenomenal.
He's 98-45-1, Yurk.
Guys, if I had a chance to get him here in Chicago, I'd find a way to go ahead and get it done. It's going to be expensive, but I'd find a way to get it done.
I'd certainly be calling. Yeah,
it's also set up in the contractually the way they've got it working in Seattle, where this, you know, after this year, the dead money's only $21 million as opposed to $58 million.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're not getting rid of him this year. Not with a $58 million dead cap hit that's going to take up. I mean, so heavens, the Murgatroyd, that's 28% to 29% of your cap.
So is this a non-starter here? Like, if you're, I mean, is that what it would, is that the penalty for the Seahawks if they were to trade him?
Yeah, $58 million dead cap money, yes.
So is this a non-starter? Why are we talking about this?
Because he's talking about wanting changes. You say, hey, I'm not comfortable here because you want things, you obviously want to be approached differently, or you want to have more input. Or, you know, that, or you're setting things up for the next offseason.
It's like,
so you're talking about it now, depending upon the way the season goes, and now $21 million is more palatable and they can get out of it.
Let's say hi to Ray in Iowa City.
Ray!
What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Ray.
Couple, just quick points on the whole Bears Arlington Stadium thing.
Sure.
You know, whether these owners and basically all the major pro sports teams want to admit it or not now, they're all like in the real estate business now. And you look at, I'm an urban planner by trade. And you look at every stadium development and redevelopment proposal over the last 10, 15 years, they're all attached to a pretty sizable amount of acreage outside of the actual stadium where, you know, you get a surplus of, you know, entertainment district options, hotels, condos, office space, maybe even retail space. Like, that's just the way it is.
Like, and the Packers have done that, right? Right, Ray? Like, the Packers have done that. The Patriots, that stadium used to be, I've been there 15 years ago, smack dab in the middle of nowhere. Now it's like a bustling area because of what they've done around there.
The Patriots basically built a shopping mall next to their stadium, and Packers, the Titletown district next to Lambeau, is really something.
That's what Yurko said.
Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal.
It's incredible, and that's just you know, the savvy owners have
right.
really found a way to kind of capitalize on all that, and so it's, you know, it'll be interesting kind of see what the Bears kind of do here. I know they don't have the liquidity right now to really go 100% in on this the way, you know, a Shot Khan or a Stan Kroenke would, but you know, we'll have to see what kind of investment team they can put together.
If they were smart, they'd find a way. Ray, thanks. Pat Ryan is one of their big, you know, is an owner, is a partial owner in the Chicago Bears, and he's worth a few billion. I mean, if they were smart, if they wanted to take this to the next level, you know, this proud franchise, this charter franchise that, quite frankly, should be even more proud than it actually is, they'd find a way to be in on this. Real estate is the key. That's absolutely right. What's the movie they did about Ray Kroc? Remember with Michael Keaton? What was the movie called?
The Founder.
Right, The Founder. And the kid tells him in the office, he says, yeah, you think you're going to make money selling 50-cent hamburgers? He says, buy the land. You buy the land on which that restaurant sits. And he says, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to start buying up the land.
The CEO of Dairy Queen.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, that's...
I don't think I knew that.
Yes. That he's the one who told him about... I'm sorry, did I say Dairy Queen? Tasty Freeze.
Tasty Freeze. Is that right? I don't think I knew that either. Freeze.
Yeah, they say it in the movie. Yeah.
They do? How did I miss that?
I think he's got a business card and he introduces himself.
I think I might have missed that. Yeah, he says, I eat at your restaurant all the time. He said, let me look at your books. He goes, yeah, you're not going to make money selling 50-cent hamburgers, buddy. He goes, you buy the land and you make money. Buy the real estate. If the Bears had any vision whatsoever, and I mean whatsoever, they'd be all in on
by
this.
By the land.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Another nugget from the Athletic piece about Russell Wilson. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona this year, Wilson met with his coaches. For some time, Wilson has sought, even pushed for influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed, multiple sources told The Athletic. Another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself, as a player who had earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy. He stormed out of the room. They did win that night. They won by, I think, a touchdown. He threw two touchdowns to no interceptions and played pretty well in that game. 312-332-3776. So another quarterback potentially entering the ring for the Bears to maybe get in on in this offseason. And it will cost you if indeed the Seahawks do trade Russell Wilson. But as Yurko pointed out, from a financial standpoint, there might be no way in hell they can even afford to trade Russell Wilson with the dead cap this year.
Not this year. Next year, $21 million.
Let's get a quick update on what to expect for weekend weather. Oh, these last couple days have been oh so nice.
Oh, I mean, it's going to be beautiful.
The sun comes out and it's 40 in Chicago in February and everybody's running around in shorts with no coats. Now, if we had 40 degrees in, like, you know, at the end of April, we're all bitching and complaining. But right now, it feels glorious. Tracy Butler, our great friend, the fine meteorologist from ABC7, joins us, as she does almost every Thursday, for weekend weather. Hi, Tracy. This has been such a nice way to kind of wrap up the week after the last 2 weeks. I love this weather.
You are in plenty of good company. I mean, I know a lot of folks who have said, hey, I'm getting these golf clubs out. I'm finding a place that doesn't have snow still on the fairways, and I'm headed out. And, you know, this weekend is really going to feel spring-like. We may get our first 50 around here since December 23rd, actually, was the last time we had a temperature in the 50s. So I think we'll be able to make our way up there on Saturday.
No kidding. Glorious 50s. We gonna get a lot of sun this weekend?
You know what? We will, especially on Saturday. Now, Saturday morning, we'll wake up, and there will be a fair amount of cloud cover because it will just have rained. We're not looking at a lot, though. And if you're in southern Wisconsin, it might be more of a slushy mix. But it will be done before sunrise on Saturday. I think Saturday is going to be a good-looking day. I think Sunday will have a little more in the way of clouds. We'll round up. We'll say near 50 here on Sunday. And even next week, middle of next week, is looking pretty mild. You know, I went from about 21 inches of snow in my yard, and I'm down to about 6 inches of snow now. So it's melting quickly.
That's
good. That causes other problems.
Any snow on the way that you can see?
You know what? No. And what I do see, you know, that slushy mix in Wisconsin over the weekend looks like maybe a tenth of an inch. I mean, that's nothing.
That's
and
nothing.
So right now,
it's not even measurable.
No, it isn't. It's not even really measurable. So I don't see, I'm trying to be quiet about it, but the March proverbial comes in like a lion might come in like a lamb instead this year.
Oh, I would love it. All right. I like that there's none in the forecast at least, so we can enjoy a beautiful weekend, it sounds like, especially Saturday. Sounds fabulous to me. Hey, before we let you go, I know you're involved with the Girls in the Game in the online auction that they've got going on now. I talked about it on my Whiskey Wednesday review last night because Peggy Kaczynski, who's a great friend of ours, reached out to me, was talking about that online auction because they have a special whiskey meet and greet with Ed Belfour. Yeah, it's one of the online auction things that you can bid on. It's a meet and greet with, like, a virtual meet and greet to talk whiskey, talk hockey with the Hall of Famer Ed Belfour, get an autographed bottle of one of his whiskeys. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So you're pretty involved with that too, right, Tracy?
Yes, yes. Peggy reached out to me as well. And so I'll do a virtual meet and greet, as you will. We can talk weather. We can talk golf. We can talk puppy life. We can talk, you know, maybe I'll tell you some behind the scenes stuff on Carmen and Yurko.
Of course.
But the other thing, I started a little new hobby. I'm making blankets during COVID.
Regina.
I had to look for something else. And so I offered to make our highest bidder a blanket that represents their favorite Chicago sports team.
Nice.
So you tell me what it is. I'll hopefully be able to find the fabric and you know, make you one of my blankets. That I just started this new thing, so it's not professional. it's what I'm doing now.
Well done,
it comes
Tracy.
From the heart.
That's
though.
Right. Yeah.
Yes,
if anybody
very
go
much so.
Go on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco or go on my Instagram at Carmen DeFalco 5, and I'm sure the info is also on Tracy's Twitter at Tracy Butler ABC 7. You can find the link. The auction does close tonight. FYI. So
tonight.
Don't wait. Get in on it now and bid on some of those great items for Girls in the Game. Tracy, have a good weekend. Thanks for the nice news.
Okay,
we love it.
See
Thank
you.
You. All right. There's Tracy Butler. 50 maybe with some sun on Saturday. It's going to feel
like
spring. I
like that, Carm.
Absolutely glorious. Jonathan in the city's got a question for you. Make it quick, though,
Jonathan.
What's your question for Yerk?
And I was just wondering, because you were saying earlier about the Russell West, the QB situation and how the team's got to sometimes, you know, put pressure on the QB. And I agree with you on for some part, but like, I mean, you look at Tampa Bay and remember when Bruce Arians said, you know, I let Tom just coach sometimes. And I think that's why we're just seeing so much QB dissatisfaction right now in this offseason, because they hear that and they're not allowed any involvement in their teams. Like Deshaun and Russell is saying, you know, I mean, I want to be a part of the offense a little bit. Look what happens when you let the QB be a part of the offense. You get a 44-year-old man winning the Super Bowl. You know,
and then, Jonathan,
yeah, that's just my thought real quick.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it. It's a mixture of things on how you've got to be able to deal with the quarterback. Bruce Arians busted Tom's charm.
I was going to say,
they
he
got
busted
angry
his,
with each other,
I mean,
all the time.
Like, he didn't have kid gloves on the whole season with Tom.
But as long as you can have a professional relationship, I think a lot of this has to do with people want input.
Yeah.
Quarterback want input. I was, as a player, I always offered my input. Now, whether the coach took it or not, you know, didn't matter. I was learning from my coach.
Do you remember?
And in the process of learning, I'd say, okay, I'll give you some real-life experience, what's happening out there. We used to run a zone blitz on the goal line. You got me going backwards on the goal line
not
after my
idea.
Initial read. It's bad.
Yeah.
And I used to tell Coach Stroud, I said, no zone blitz at the goal line.
Do you remember around Thanksgiving when people were saying Tom Brady and Bruce Arians are going to kill each other and the season is going to be a failure in Tampa? I mean, so,
winning cures all.
Scott Merkin checks in from White Sox camp. When we come back next, we'll be back in 2 minutes.